broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Austin Rodriguez. Can we call you A-Rod?
Yeah, he said yes.
He said yes with a thumbs up. That's double confirmation. A-Rod filling in for B-Mac. Where is Brian today? Wrong answers only, 713-780-3776. Rocky with the best wrong answer that exists. B-Mac is interviewing at the Highway to Hell. He's joining the Baytown Batty.
That's a good one.
It's Brian's exit from there was because of the Baytown Batty.
Oh, is that right?
So that's the best wrong answer that exists. Right, I wonder if Rocky has some inside sources there, because that's some pretty good stuff. 713-780-ESPN. Poncho says that Brian took a whole day to sign up for every bracket available, filling his spreadsheet afterwards. I could see that happening. And Dab says that B-Mac's going to Chicago Sports Radio, because that's been, a thing with our producers.
Well, you got one that has the Chicago ties and roots and Joe George. And then we have Brendan, who left us for that.
Left us for the White Sox.
Not so green pastures.
Yeah. Ocho, UConn could be seriously tested in round two versus FAU for sure. I think Auburn's playing about as good as anybody. They could have them in a Sweet 16 game.
Auburn's playing really good basketball right
really
now.
Good
Bruce
basketball.
Pearl's got them playing well at the right time.
Jose Urquidy flew back to Houston. It's being reported that he's got forearm tightness in his right arm. I hate it whenever pitchers start complaining about their throwing elbow and their throwing shoulder. This does not sound good. Sounds like he's going to start the season on the injured list. That's best case scenario. Mm-hmm. Best case scenario, he's out for like a month or two, which, again, that's best case scenario. Worst case scenario, forearm tightness connected to the UCL, but I don't want to jump to conclusions. But not great news. What is your concern level right now for the Astros pitching staff?
It's definitely there. There's just too many injuries. It's one thing to say that you got two guys you're going to be waiting on until midseason. It's another thing to say you got two guys before you even got deep into camp had concerns that was probably going to push them from being ready to start the season, or it's going to be damn close in the case of JP France. And now you add a fifth guy. It's great that you have depth at your starting pitching position, that you have some other guys to pull from, but I don't think it's nearly as deep as we thought it was, and that's why I'm concerned, because I see Blanco having a good spring. That doesn't mean it's going to translate to the long summer, and maybe for a week or two he's a spot starter for you, but if this team is truly as good as we think it can be, even if it's a short-term fix or a short-term contract to get you a short-term fix, I think they have to be kicking the tires on a couple of different options at a starting pitcher position, because otherwise I don't want to see Brandon Belak in the starting rotation or some of the guys they might have to turn to.
Mine's getting up there. My concern's pretty high, because you're running out of your depth that we've talked about, because you entered this season with six capable starting pitchers, with maybe a seventh if you want to count Spencer Arrighetti. Maybe a seventh, but now you're down Justin Verlander, who's not going to start the season with the team, which, I mean, take your time. Like, don't rush back, even if you have, you know, a thin starting rotation. Like, your health needs to be 100% before you're even thinking about getting on a mound in a big league game. JP France, which I think he's going to start on the opening day roster.
I think you're right.
But you could also manipulate it where, you know, he starts in the minors and then you call him up whenever you need him on that fourth or fifth game because you want to, you know, cover your bases because you have to carry Abreu, who's right. Going to be suspended for two games. But, you know, somebody who makes a start in the first turn through the rotation, I think he'll be back. But now you lose Urquidy. So you're starting rotation Framber, Javier, Hunter Brown, JP France, Ronel Blanco. That's what you're going into the season with. That's what the season starting rotation is going to be. And you don't expect to get Jose Urquidy back quickly. Luis Garcia is not coming back quickly. Lance McCullers isn't coming back quickly. The best hope you have is Justin Verlander comes back 2, 3, 4 weeks into the season. So you have to make 2, 3, 4 weeks worth of a turn through the rotation where you're going to be playing a lot of games, too, of Framber, Javier, Brown, France, and Blanco. So my concern level is up there. And yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and we're counting what we have in terms of access and availability for now, in terms of five, six guys. There's no guarantees that as much as we're looking at the second half of the season and thinking, well, wait till Garcia comes back. Wait till McCullers comes back. Sure, the arrow is pointing in the right direction for now. We've seen what's happened with Lance in the past. You don't know how Garcia is going to completely respond when he comes back from this. So it would be nice to have another insurance policy just in the case that, especially from the midseason point on, that no matter what you're dealing with now, you might have more to deal with later because maybe one or two of those guys won't be available at all.
Yeah, I'm team reinforcements. The Bob Nightingale report that Blake Snell would be willing to do a 2-year, $66 million deal with an opt-out after 2024. Now, that does come with draft pick compensation. The Astros have already had to pay or will pay draft pick compensation for Josh Hader as well. Would you do a 2-year, $66 million deal with an opt-out after 24? 1 year, potentially.
You know what's funny is the thing that kept rattling in my brain today was, it's not my money. So from the standpoint of just any kind of reinforcement at that level added to this team excites me. But the money seems to me to be too great because I still think that they have really, really above average pitching. No matter with some of these guys that we're talking about that aren't going to be like out for the have the run risk of coming back whenever they're going to come back late in the season. I think Verlander's going to be back sooner rather than later. France will be back sooner rather than later. I think that's excessive for me. I think that sounds like too much for me on a 2-year deal, and obviously the opt-outs mean it could just be a 1-year deal.
Yeah,
but that just seems a little too high for me.
I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. I like the short-term aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Now, the draft pick compensation, that stinks, whatever. Dana Brown, you were hired because of your scouting. You were hired because you can find young talent, because you can uncover, you know, players that are going to give you big league production someday. So, yeah, Dana Brown, we're going to make your job difficult by taking these draft picks away from you, but this is why you're hired, to go out and get these guys. I like the short-term aspect of it. It's not my money, so I don't really care if Jim Crane's having to pitch out a ton of money. And it also doesn't restrict you from potentially locking up the guys that you want. I don't think Alex Bregman's ever going to sign with the Astros anyways. Like, this would certainly guarantee that he doesn't. Okay, whatever. I'm willing to live without Alex Bregman. Kyle Tucker's deal, he's still got this year and next year, which is going to be the same time that Blake Snell's contract comes off the books, even if he opts in. Same thing with Framber Valdez. I would just go ahead and do it. I would bite the bullet. I would give Blake Snell the money. Like, it cements your starting rotation. It also makes your starting rotation, if you want to be optimistic, one of the better, you know, chances of having one of the better starting rotations in all of baseball. Like, Blake Snell was the 2-time Cy Young and last year's NL Cy Young. There's a lot of ifs with Framber, a lot of ifs with Javier, ifs with Brown. There's ifs with Justin Verlander. We only need 2 or 3 of those guys to hit. I would go ahead and bite the bullet and do it.
Okay, so then let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Would you rather Snell at 33 or Montgomery less than that?
Does Montgomery have draft pick compensation?
See, that I'm not sure. And I don't know at what level it would be, but I'm pretty sure it would be a lot less money.
Yeah, I think it would be like probably $25 million.
I was thinking between 18 and 25.
I think that Blake Snell is better. Let's see. Montgomery does not have draft pick compensation.
Well, there you go. No compensation, and you can get him for at least probably $8 to $10 million cheaper. I'd be more in the market for a Montgomery deal than I would be on a Snell deal. And if he wants to do the same kind of 2-year deal setup, I'm all for that.
Because he doesn't have the draft pick compensation, it doesn't matter as much if he opts out at the end of the year. And I don't think he can have draft pick compensation because he's already been offered draft pick compensation in the past. Mm-hmm. So that means that you couldn't offer him draft pick compensation. You couldn't do that with Blake Snell either because he's already been offered that and declined it. So I'm okay with either one. I'd rather have Blake Snell because of the upside. Like, Jordan Montgomery rounds you out. Yeah, I think Blake Snell's ceiling is way higher than Jordan Montgomery's. So is Blake Snell.
No, I'm saying Snell is lefty.
So is Montgomery.
Oh, that's right. But it's enticing to me to add another lefty to the rotation as well.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I'd be cool with either one. Now, I think Blake Snell gives you more upside. Like, there's trade-offs here. Blake Snell gives you more upside, whereas Jordan Montgomery is going to come at a lower cost from finances and draft pick compensation. So I think it's a little win-win, honestly. I think Mike Lorenzen's another option that's not nearly as good.
60-70 pitches today with a lot of people watching.
And I think he would obviously be the cheapest of the three. I don't think he's nearly as good as the other two, but the thing that intrigues me about Lorenzen, a couple of things, he's not going to have the draft pick compensation. He's going to be far cheaper than the other guys, and he also has the ability and has spent more time in his life as a reliever than a starter. So it'd be much easier to transition him into the bullpen than a Blake Snell, than a Jordan Montgomery. So I'd be okay with all three in very different ways.
I think just Lorenzen to me is intriguing because put him on a really good team and put him with an offense to back him. And I'm curious if they were still able to do the kind of things they were able to do with Gerrit Cole, with Charlie Morton, with guys that when we heard the name, we were like, who? Okay, whatever. And then all of a sudden they became studs at the top of your rotation. Could the combination of just the analytics and the way the pitching staff goes about their business, coupled with good defense, really good, maybe even better offense, be a difference for him in the short term?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would be okay with any of these three. 713-780-ESPN. 6227, yes, you do it. Look how much they're paying McCullers to not pitch in 2 years plus. Yeah, but they're still paying them. 4518, sign Snell, trade Bregman for salary relief plus prospects. Call up Wagner to play third base. I'm not trading Bregman if I'm signing Snell. Like, if you're signing Snell, it's because you want to be a World Series contender.
Yep.
So that's kind of counterproductive the moment that you trade Bregman. 0265, can we all agree that JV needs to do what Roger Clemens did and start in mid-June or July?
Nope.
I'm okay with that.
But it's not going to happen because JV's chasing records.
That is true.
And numbers.
Jason, double bonus with Montgomery being cheaper would be having Ranger fans watching him as an Astro this season. There would be the torment on Ranger fans. That is absolutely true. All right, 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. There's a leak for the Houston Texans uniforms that just was posted on Reddit. Apparently, Cal McNair has published the below photo on Reddit.
He did.
And we're going to describe these uniforms. We're going to grade these uniforms, too, when we come back. And I tweeted it out, at Jeremy Branham, if you want to see the leak as well. That way you can know what we're talking about. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It's time, basketball bettors. It's March Mania. Branham here to tell you about BetUS.com. I endorse one sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS.com. They've been driving to the basket for over 30 years, over three decades. Can you believe that? This year, BetUS has an epic three-pointer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. That's right, the industry's craziest 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance, and there's even more. BetUS accepts crypto. And they're offering a massive 200% crypto sign-up bonus. Gambler's insurance and crypto, you don't see that anywhere. March Mania basketball can get even more exciting with their live in-game betting. It's also a blast to check out their casino after the game, maybe a little blackjack, where you could get a 250% casino bonus. Get started by visiting BetUS.com. Or just give them a call, 1-800-MY-BETUS, to learn all about their bonuses and special offers. BetUS.com, 1-800 My Bet US, Bet US, where the game begins.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The Jersey leak is out. One of them. Apparently, there's four. There's only one of the four. And Jeremy Branham to, see what they look like and then grade them for us. 713-780-3776. Where is Brian? Wrong answers only. 2738. Brian was traded to the Texans for a seventh rounder. What position would he play?
Based on what he said with Barry and Jerome one night, water boy? He went into a pretty long description of the fact that he tried football once and it didn't go well and he didn't play long. And that there wasn't really a position because he didn't like getting hit.
I hope Casario wouldn't give up a seventh rounder for that.
Yeah.
What would we do with a seventh rounder since he'd be traded to us? 3977, Brian, somewhere patting his head and rubbing his belly. Have you ever done that? It's kind of hard to do.
Yeah, it is a little bit challenging, multitasking in a different way.
I've mastered it because of my
ADHD. What's really
ADHD
to that level, like on another level, is drumming. Like, I took up the drums. Try to keep
how
one
that
beat
the same?
Well, because try to keep one beat with your foot. And then another beat with one or both of your hands with like cymbals, the snare, and then the bass with your foot. It's challenging for your brain.
Yeah, I don't have a musical bone in my body, so I couldn't do it. 713-780-ESPN.
I had heard that BMAC was watching a Jason Statham marathon in a white tank top and boxers.
Why does he have to be in a white tank top and boxers?
Because I just would envision him being as comfortable as he possibly could to get the full value of his enjoyment of Jason Statham.
That one's pretty good. He does like Jason Statham.
Oh, boy,
a whole
he loves
lot.
Him some Jason Statham.
He's
now
a big Jason Statham fan. 713-780-ESPN. Wrong answers only. Where is Brian? 713-780-3776. So there was this leak that came out earlier today from a site called NFL Fashion Advice, where it's this random guy that's in a Derek Stingley uniform, the new uniform, and he's like on a concrete floor.
Looks like a warehouse, doesn't it? Or like one of those.
It looks like a holding cell in prison.
Kind of.
But one of those, what do they call it? Not that I would know anything about
service,
that.
Not a service elevator, but one of those old school, like garage door type elevators for like big warehouses.
Like if I, and I have no idea who this guy is. He's in a it's a really bad picture. It's just a guy in the new Texans uniform in a really bad picture. And if I saw this too, I can understand why Cal McNair leaked the better version of it. But apparently this is the uniform. One of the four. At Jeremy Branham to see it. It's all over Twitter. 713-780-3776. So this is probably the visiting uniform. It's got the navy blue pants. It's got the white top. It looks like the letters are the same, but it's a smaller.
Can I tell you what it looks like?
The number is the helmet. Same.
The first glance, because that blue is so dark, is looks like the Atlanta Falcons.
A bunch of people have texted that in.
Is that right?
Yeah, Ocho texted that in, a couple
just
other
texters. Just the first glance looking at it, and because there's a black border around and a dark background with the two players, it looks like they play for the Falcons.
Yeah, I don't really love them. I don't like the shoulders on them. The shoulders,
well, those are bullhorns, right?
The shoulders have the Toro horns on the side. I don't I don't like the look of it. What did I give them? I already graded. I think
it's
I gave them a 6.
Simplistic, too. I was expecting something new, different, kind of eye-grabbing.
What would you give them? Scale of 1 to 10. I gave it a 6.4.
Yeah, 6.
These aren't great.
6.
I'm not a huge fan of these.
I hope the other three knock my socks off, because this first one is just kind of meh.
Yeah. Yeah. These
same
aren't
I'm assuming same logo on the helmet.
It looks like the same logo to me, which we had heard that they were going to be the same logo too. So no H at least on these, but maybe there's an alternate helmet too. Just me on the ESPN Houston YouTube. They look like an XFL version of the Falcons uniforms. He said that Cal released a picture of Tank and Nico wearing them. Yeah, we see that. The reason that I think the reason that he released this though is because of this other NFL fashion advice.
Yeah.
Like you don't want this picture being circulated with the new Texans leak. Like this is it's a terrible look. So that's probably why he leaked it. 713-780-3776.
I'm surprised you weren't involved in that. I had heard that they did a sneak preview last week and that people had to sign their life away basically on non-disclosures. They couldn't say a single
I didn't go to the availability that they had. They did it at the media availability with Casario was it Casario? I don't remember who. I think it was Casario.
Cuz Larian Stafford was one of them.
Oh, they brought some fans?
Yeah, they brought some fans in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
1984, those jerseys look kind of XFL-ish. Would you agree?
Yes.
There is no XFL anymore.
But XFL or UFL now, they try to go for kind of the Seahawks approach when they change their uniforms. They try to go more splashy. I think they try and get more eye-popping out of their uniforms because they have to be different than the NFL. These, to me, this version right here just seems very generic.
Yeah, I mean, the shoulders are kind of, I guess, XFL-ish. Other than that, that's like the only change, though.
But
like, it's a darker blue, maybe?
I think it's creative to use the bullhorns as the stripe around the pads, but there's a different way to do the overall uniform to kind of get more eye-popping.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I know that why they're doing the shoulders like that. I just don't like them. I don't think they look good.
I mean, if there was a way that you added more color or multi-levels of color around that or something, maybe.
It looks like it looks like a Madden Create the uniform. Eric the Driver says, first glance, I thought it was the Falcons uni. He gives it a 4 out of 10. What do you grade it? 713-780-ESPN. 8638, Cal leaked it himself, apparently. Yeah, because he saw that random dude in a stairwell wearing a jersey. He didn't want that to be the release. 8115, the new Texans uniforms that Cal released look like a high school version of the Falcons uniform. You don't see that kind of graphics
in high school.
I don't
think it's a high school version. I just think if you have a team that after 20-some-odd years is changing their uniforms, you're expecting kind of a wow factor. You're expecting something that goes, ooh, I like that. That's totally different than what we've had. That's not too far away from what they've had.
Yeah. 4661 leaked. I mean, it looks
take it
very much the
on
same.
These pants.
It doesn't look like there's stripes.
We can't see the stripes on the side. We just see front views of both guys.
I would like it if there's not a stripe. I kind of like the solid color.
I would like the red and white, some version of the red, like a red, white, red, or a red and white stripe on the side.
It looks like the lettering on the front of the jersey is smaller. Actually, it's actually a little bit bigger than it used to be, 2023.
I don't need Houston on the front of the jersey.
Would you rather have Houston or Texans or nothing?
I would
nothing?
Have neither one of them.
They used to have Texans on it.
I know what team I'm watching. I don't need the name on the front of the jersey.
I can hear you on that. I don't mind that. I like Houston more than I like Texans, though.
Yeah.
If you had to pick one of the two, I'd rather go Houston.
City, then that's fine.
Yeah, because like Texans sounds very state. Have you seen these yet, Austin?
I just saw them now.
What would you? Where are you? Well, how would you describe your fashion sense?
Pretty basic, not going to lie.
Basic? I like basic. I'm very basic, too. A lot of neutral colors for me. What do you think of these uniforms? Grade them for us, 1 to 10.
I give them a 4. I don't like the numbers at all.
4 coming from a basic white guy. Actually, he's A-Rod, so Austin Rodriguez, not so much white guy.
The white jersey
So you don't
guy
like the, yeah, there we go. You don't like the jersey numbers, huh?
Yeah, something about them, I can't really put my finger on it, but like that 3, I just thought was ugly, so I just didn't like it.
I feel like the font's the same.
It kind of seems like it is, or very similar
it
to
looks
what they
very
had.
Very similar.
Again, if you're going to change your uniforms, then you're supposed to be changing them with a wow factor or for the better or with a completely different style that, or not just subtle changes. You're looking for kind of a big difference from what you've had.
Yeah. Maybe the other ones are more, I guess, creative or whatever. I don't hate them. I just don't like the shoulders, quite frankly. That's the thing I don't like. And I know they're bullhorns, but that's my least favorite part about it. 4661, 5 out of 10, not creative, but they're clean. I do like the clean aspect of it. Like, there's not a whole lot going on. That's why the show, like, I just get rid of the horns. Just get rid of the horns. Put a little blue in there.
I don't like the horns at all. Words on the front. I'd like a little bit more accent, red and something around the horns if you're going to keep them. I think you need something on the shoulders. I like the creativity of the horns. I just don't like the fact that it's just basically blue and white with a little red on the uniform and a trim on the numbers. I think they could have done way better than that.
See, I don't like busy. I'm cool.
There's a difference
simplistic
between busy and just kind of accent color that pops things.
8638, they should have kept the red numbers, so he agrees with you. I kind of like the blue. I don't dislike the blue at all, really. Kind of bland, says 9198. This guy says, I like the shoulder horns. 8638, apparently Sarge from Twitter says the other ones are way better. I believe Sarge. I hope they're better.
I hope if he's commenting and he signed his.
I mean, he always says they're better.
Okay.
8664, the uniforms will look better if they acquire a run-stopping defensive tackle. That was Ocho.
I heard the Colonel on one of his appearances. He was doing a lot of stuff for Fred as well. But yeah. I heard the Colonel talking about that everybody is really going to love the new uniforms, so hopefully the other three are better.
Matt Murphy, who used to play for him, he said that there was one that he would buy.
I saw that. Yeah, Murph's a good dude.
So who knows what the other three look like? But this one, what was your grade again? 6. Gave it a 6.4, and A-Rod gave it a 4. A 4. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Enough uniform talk. 713-780-3776. It's time for our Mailbag Monday. You can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want to ask. What are you asking us today? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, time for our Mailbag Monday, 713-780-ESPN. Do we know Austin well enough to shame him a little bit?
I mean, that's never stopped you before.
Yeah, Austin, you forgot our Mailbag Monday intro. I'm going to put that on Brian, though. That's not Austin's
fault.
That's
true.
That's not all. You don't know what you don't know.
B-Mac is supposed to set him up and teach him what he doesn't know.
Did Brian tell you to play that, Austin? Yes or no? You can be honest with us. No one's listening.
I honestly didn't know there
was
an intro
for it. Tom Bryan. Tom Bryan.
Well, B-Mac.
Car Wreck of the Day nominee, Brian.
I won't put it fully on Brian, though. He could have told me. I just totally forgot about it. That's definitely possible.
Don't cover for the ball. Don't do that.
Yeah, we could have also told you before we went to that last break, hey, coming out of break, we like this, but we're talent. We don't make decisions like that. We're not smart enough to think on
the
fly.
Our producer should do something.
Yeah, we're not smart enough to think on the fly like that. So, Brian, you're the early nominee for Car Wreck of the Day for not having Austin prepped up on what we play coming out of intro, coming out of breaks into certain segments. So Mailbag Monday, 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. 4485, what y'all think of New Jersey's, or am I late? You're late. Blankers gave it a 6. Yeah. I gave it a 6.4. A 9361, predict the final four, the tournament, and the final. Go Kooks.
That was easy for you. You know what's funny is I see everybody just going ones across the board. I'm not going that route, but I haven't really kind of got through and done a full bracket. I've got U of H right now. I think U of H is definitely in the Elite Eight. I hope they get to the Final Four. I've seen a lot of people picking Kentucky as the hot pick. Marquette's a scary team, too. They've got a lot of good competition in their bracket. I think Carolina's getting hot at the right time, but I just feel like they're ripe for the upset. And I think Purdue's going to get upset. So I don't have it for you just yet, but I think that the number ones that are going to get there, I think UConn, and I think the second best one to get there is U of H.
Don't forget to play our 6th annual Bracket Madness online for free. ESPN975.com under the promotions tab. Register now. You can win some Gentle Ben. You can win some Star Pizza, some East River 9, some Republic Boot Company. So make sure you get in on that. 713-780-3776. What's your question for the Killer Bees? Our Mailbag Monday. A key from LA. Better date night, bowling or shooting pool?
Bowling.
I'm gonna say shooting pool.
Bowling.
Why bowling over shooting pool?
I'm from the bowling capital of the world.
Do they not have pool in pubs in Wisconsin?
Yeah, pubs, yes. Pool, yes, it's there. I prefer, with my own enjoyment somewhere in the mix, I love bowling. I'm going bowling every time.
What does that have anything to do with Wisconsin?
I'm very good at bowling, too. I'm not very good at pool.
You're good at, I'm okay at pool. I'm better, probably better. I'm not very good at either one, but probably better at pool than I am bowling. But, like,
I don't want to drop that.
Date night, it depends on which date, too.
True.
Like, if it's a first date, you need to be doing things where you're going to chat more than, like, you know, your seventh
date. Both
of
them, though, are pretty easy to converse while you're...
I mean, it depends. If you're having a two-person bowling match, you're always going to be up and down, like, and not sharing time with each other.
But you have an alley all to yourself, and you're kind of... You're still walking back. You're right there in that same close area.
I feel like when you're walking this way, they're walking that way.
No one's telling you that you're on a time crunch where you got to get up there and get ready because she's done throwing.
I can understand why you like bowling too much, because whenever they're zagging, you're zigging.
Not necessarily.
Because it goes zigzag, zigzag, like that.
A little conversation before the other person goes up to bowl.
I'll go pool just because I like pool more than bowling. I do feel like there's a lot
of
similarities.
Key's first valuable contribution to the show in months.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
You're too harsh on Key. Key's great. 9062, KFC or Popeyes?
I think Popeyes is overrated.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, you can't. You know. No.
Yeah, they went nuts on the chicken sandwich when they didn't have to.
Popeyes is way better than KFC.
I don't think so.
Way better. We cannot.
And I'm not big on the fried chicken thing anyway, but I prefer the. I like the taste of KFC.
I mean, we've already taken away your food card. So
no, you haven't. You took away Joe George. You didn't take away mine.
I think we've officially taken yours away now.
You tried, but you're not doing that.
Popeyes is better. Do you think KFC, because it's more, you know, prone for, it's a better vessel for the ketchup? Is that why you went KFC over Popeyes?
No, but my kids would tell you that it is.
A two-piece Tuesday from Popeyes, a little spicy chicken tender. Their sides are elite with the mashed potato, with the brown gravy. The red beans and rice are fantastic. Their fries are very good.
I'm not a big Popeyes connoisseur.
Popeyes is so good.
I grew up with KFC, so I'll stick with what I know.
Popeyes, it ain't close. You know the best chicken place in town, though? Gus's.
I've heard of that.
Gus's is fantastic. It's got a little bit of spice. A little spice, not a lot. It was originated in Memphis.
What about the one on the way to the U of H campus?
You talking about Frenchies?
Frenchies.
There's a lot of Frenchies around. I like Frenchies, too. Frenchies is real good. Frenchies brought
good.
Some food to the station before.
Yep.
But I'll take give me some Gus's. Gus's is fantastic. 713-780-3776. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 0754 says, why is Joe George such a bad word? That's all I want to know. He's 0754 has been saying this a lot. I want to know why you think that. 0754
is not full of compliments normally,
which is fine. It's fine.
Big Patriots guy, always brags that. Always says he's going to see us at remotes, doesn't. And then he likes to crap on just about all of us all the time.
How do you have that memorized?
Because I normally look at the number going, who hates us that much that they listen every day? And it's 0754.
I cannot remember numbers the way that you remember numbers. 713-780-3776. What is your question for the Killer Bees? Popeyes in Louisiana, hands down the best. I've heard that Popeyes in Louisiana tastes different. No one can explain why. They just say that it hits different in Louisiana.
I can tell you what's possible, because if you go to the original Carrabba's, It's way, Carrabba's is now a chain. Carrabba's you can find all over in different cities, and it's just like a commercialized version of the really down home recipes that you get at the Carrabba's on Kirby.
That could be the case. I don't know the rhyme or reason as to why it's the better there, but I have heard that from. I've never had Popeyes in Louisiana, come to think of it, because I eat like gumbo and jambalaya when I'm there, and Cracklin and Boudin. Will Joe Mixon hit 1,000 yards this year?
I think so.
I think he'll hit 1,000 yards. Yep. I don't think he.
It's easier to do with 17 games, too, but I think he will.
And currently doesn't have tons of competition.
True.
Like, there's two guys right now in the running back room.
He loves the attitude of Dameon Pierce.
I heard that answer. He was being nice.
Yeah, he's just a team player. He's not bitching and wanting a trade, but
yeah, I think that I think Caserio was being nice. Like it was kind of like letting him down easily. What's y'all's opinion on who they Texans get in the second round?
We talked about it a little bit. Yeah, they got two picks, and if they come out with any combination of a D tackle, a corner, a safety, or a wide receiver, a safety and wide receiver of those four, if you get any two, I think I'd feel pretty good.
Yeah, I'm a BPA guy. Like, I'm going to have to let the draft board talk to me. There's certain guys that intrigue me. Like, receivers there is going to be, like, the most intriguing. Running back would feel like a reach. I bet you there's probably a decent corner that we've heard of that slides there. Like, I think second round's probably too early for Sweat. But, like, Sweat, somebody who would be exciting to me. So, like.
Well, I'd love to see him in a Texans uniform.
What's that?
I'd love to see Sweat in a Texans uniform. I think he'd be a good fit.
Yeah. 0754 says, I don't hate the Killer Bees. I love you crabby old guys, but mainly like the bench.
Well, aren't they crabbier and older?
Only one of us is old.
Thanks.
Of the four, who is? Are you older than Granato and Lance?
No. I'm not even close to Granato. Jeez.
How old's Granato?
How old's Lance? Lance
I don't know.
Looks like he's 72.
I don't know. I'm not very good with ages.
And his health is close to 72.
That's messed up.
It's true. He can't even walk on a crosswalk without hurting himself.
That is true. Preferred vacation resort, beach or golf?
Well, that's easy. It's one that has both. Because
that's what I was
the best golf courses also are probably close to beaches.
But if it depends on who you're going with, too. Like, if you're.
Always does.
My wife will play a little bit of golf. She probably plays as much as I do these days because we probably only play once
tell you
a
what,
year.
Man. My wife, I had her taking lessons for a while. And she started to really hit the ball good, but then there was also the occasional swing and duff it or miss it, and she just couldn't handle it.
Really?
Yeah, if she couldn't perfect it, she wouldn't do it. And she was hitting a 5-wood about 200 yards. I was like, what are you doing? That's fantastic. And then she'd swing and miss and go, nope, not doing it anymore.
She's perfectionist. 4958, my house was 100 feet from the original Popeyes on Judge Perez Boulevard, and I don't know how to say that town. It's Where? Different. He said it's different. I don't know. I'm going to have to go try it there then.
Where is that place?
It's in Louisiana.
Oh.
The original was in Louisiana, okay. So I guess he lived there in Louisiana. Who wins a championship first, the Texans or the Rockets?
I think Texans do.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I think the Texans do because they got the best position taken care of in sports at quarterback, and I think the Rockets are still trying to figure out who their go-to guys are.
Wheatstraw, I'll go with the Texans too. They have the quarterback. Wheatstraw, favorite barbecue place in Houston?
In Houston? JBRM and I'll go off the Gatlin's.
Okay, yeah, I like a bunch. Like, you know, I'm fat. You don't get this way without eating a bunch of places. I like Corkscrew's brisket a lot.
Yep.
JBRM's my favorite, and Hoffy always hooks me up. I'll be over there at JBRM tonight.
Saw that.
Swing
last
by at 7 o'clock
of the year. Huh?
I love JBRM. JBRM's so good. Perfect spot. Ocho, am I the only one who doesn't skip over the Sopranos intro before every episode? It's so good. I am not an intro guy on shows. My wife is. She would force us to watch the intro to Succession before every show, which I was like ready to skip.
Fast forward through it?
Well, I mean, if you stream, the streaming options give you the option where you just press a button to skip the intro. No, she wanted to watch the intro, which Succession's intro is pretty good.
Okay.
It's pretty good. You never watched that show,
nope.
Huh? It's a really good show. You get 1 week paid vacation anywhere in the world, which, by the way, I'm going beach over golf. Whenever I go on vacation, I like to do nothing. I like to be lazy bones and do nothing.
I can't just sit and do nothing. So the
I'm
golf,
a nothing guy.
And I'm sure that my wife would do a massage or something like that where I could get some golf in. But, yeah, I'm having the option to do both before. And if I have to choose one or the other, I'll take the golf.
9361, you get 1 week paid vacation anywhere in the world if you ate the Carolina Reaper pepper. Where would you go and would you eat the pepper?
I think I could handle the pepper. It doesn't sound like something I'd want to do.
Yeah.
And where would I go? That's an easy one for me because it also solves the golf and the beach. I'm going to Hawaii.
Hawaii's nice.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
I would do a little bit of research before I know where I'm going. I would do it. I wouldn't handle the pepper well.
I wouldn't either.
I'm not going to handle the pepper well, I'll tell you that. I'm not going to handle the pepper well. I'm not going to pretend like I would. But I would do it for a one-week paid vacation. Mm-hmm. Like, it pains temporary. Pain right. Temporary. Like, how long is that going to hurt you? It might hurt you for a while.
You might have some commode. Yeah, you might have some commode time for an extended, like a couple hours.
Yeah, maybe 24 at the most, right? If you I would do it for 24.
Have the right medication and, you know, can line your stomach a little bit, you'll be fine.
Plus, if you knew this was coming, you could kind of prepare for it. You know what I mean? Like, you would know what to have near you that
kind of
takes the
don't go loading up on a bunch of carbs and stuff that makes the whole situation a lot more of a difficult outcome.
I just thought of my the place I'd vacation. Galveston. Galveston's beautiful this time of year.
Oh, you're completely off your rock.
Sopranos or The Wire. That'll be the final one for the day. Sopranos or Wire.
Sopranos.
Give me The Wire. I think The Wire is the best television show in the history of television.
Them, so.
How did you answer?
Because
you
I
just
had to
lied
answer.
To the audience.
I mean, I can't take I have to take a side.
Blankers, we gotta get you cultured. You gotta start watching a little bit of TV.
No.
You got to start watching some shows.
Oh, I'm fine watching TV, but I'm also, if you give me, if it, in either or, I got to take one or the other, what interests me more or what I would be interested in looking at, I'd watch The Sopranos.
Will you do it for the show where we give you a show
I've
to
done
watch?
In the past.
We give you a show to watch and then you just kind of watch it?
Yeah, we've done that in the past.
All right, we can do that.
What was the, I did the one with the Tiger King.
That doesn't count. That one's terrible. It
we
was during
did,
COVID.
But we did that. It was like a challenge. When I watch it with everybody that listens to the show and the guys on the show, I did it.
We need to do that. We need to bring that back with like quality television shows of the past that you've missed out on, like The Wire. Like, I've actually never seen Sopranos from start to finish. I've seen bits and pieces of The Sopranos, but never start to finish. It's on my queue. I'm going to get to it. It's hard for me to go rewind that many years, though, because I try to watch the ones that are current.
I understand that.
But it is on my list. Uncle Barney said Roost's favorite theme song is the intro to Secession. Roost's my cousin. Secession's awesome. Secession's a great TV show. I'm a little sad that it's gone. 713-780-ESPN. I will say that Mailbag Monday is better with the music.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Better
sure.
with me. And Brian McDonald, again, is the one to blame for that. Not Austin, who's doing a great job. Certainly not us. We're talent. We don't make those kind of decisions. That's totally on Brian. 713-780-ESPN. I'm glad the Rockets didn't listen to a jabroni like me. I'll explain next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. It's that time of year. You're wasting your valuable time dealing with your yard, the weeds, the dead spots, all the chores that you don't want to put up with. Well, stop doing that. You don't want to do it. You don't want those chores. You don't want to mow the grass. You don't want to pull the weeds. You don't want to try to fix the dead spots. Stop doing it. You have that choice. Stop doing it. You leave for a couple of days in the spring. You come back and your yard's all screwed up. Well, Sinlawn is here so you can get your weekends back. So you don't have to do those chores so you can go away for a few days and not have to worry about your yard. Sinlawn is the evolution story of the AstroTurf. That was, of course, made popular by the Astrodome, so some local ties here. And now Sinlawn, S-Y-N, Lawn, wants to improve your lifestyle. Stop mowing. Stop pulling weeds. Stop throwing money into an ugly yard that you're embarrassed of people seeing. You don't invite people over because your yard's a disaster. Well, Sinlawn artificial grass is the best on the market. Sinlawn offers a lifetime warranty with products that are made right here in the USA, and the quality is top shelf. The people are fantastic, fully insured, fully bonded. They have their own in-house crews. You don't contract anything out. Don't have to worry about other people coming in and screwing it up. Sinlawn is there from start to finish. Sinlawn's number one priority is making their customers happy. Sinlawn is perfect for your yard, whether it's for your patio, kids' playground, your pets, no more tracking mud inside, which your kids can do that too. Or how about that putting green you've always wanted? Improve that shorting game, that short game. You can do that with Sinlawn. Head to 975sinlawn.com to learn more. That's 975sinlawn.com, 975sinlawn.com to get started on the yard of your dreams. Sinlawn, control the process from yarn to yard.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I didn't tell A-Rod to play this. It's my wife's birthday.
Yes, happy birthday to your wife.
some correlation there. 713-780-3776. Wrong answers only. Where is Brian today? Honey Glazed Branham says that BMAC is freebasing with Animal from the Muppets.
Wow.
1772, Brian was in a bar fight last night and took out two guys, but the third one caught him with a bottle and he had to get seven staples in his head.
Wrong answers only. You know he ain't getting in a bar fight.
Why not?
Because he's just not a fighter.
He likes combat sports.
That's fine. He likes to watch them. I don't think he likes to participate in them.
He judges boxing.
I know. That doesn't mean that he wants to go grapple with somebody.
He knows what it takes to be good.
Or go a couple of rounds with another fighter.
Corey says, never watch The Sopranos. The Wire and Breaking Bad are probably the two best shows ever. Those are my 1-2. I have The Wire 1, Breaking Bad 2. Uncle Barney said Breaking Bad was the best. I disagree with him. I give The Wire the slight lean. I think I give it the slight lean because of the realism, quite honestly.
Breaking Bad. I'd be open to watching all three of them.
Breaking Bad's a little, the concept of Breaking Bad's a little unrealistic. You got a high school teacher that's making meth.
Yeah.
That dings it a little. Just a little. Not a lot. Just a little. And it doesn't take part in Florida. Like if it was in Florida, it's more believable than if it was in New Mexico. Wheatstraw season 4 of The Wire, the greatest single season of any television show ever in the history, is very good. I would agree. The Shield is amazing. I've never watched The Shield. Should I try The Shield? 713-780-3776. 4958, The Wire, and then Banshee, a close second. I've not watched Banshee. I know Fred Fowler was big on Banshee. I might have to check that out.
He was. There's a lot of people in the comments over the last couple of days that have said Fred encouraged a lot of people to watch that. He and AJ were big on Game of Thrones, and they would always talk about it on the air with Jong. And just so you guys know, the family, because this was so unexpected for the Fowler family, Jeremy and myself and the station in our threads today have retweeted that there is a GoFundMe from Fred's family trying to raise the money necessary for his funeral and all the arrangements and everything. So we encourage you, check that out. If you can, please do, because his brother, John Paul, said already that they're struggling a little bit and it would be great to get some help.
Yeah, that one hit me hard on when I saw the news. I was in the building at T-Mobile. It was after our game. I stuck around and watched a little bit of the next game, and I saw AJ's tweet. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and AJ and I were texting about it multiple times, and you know, he just said, and he was really good when he went on with John and Lance the next day, but that, you know, Fred was dealing with a lot. Fred was still trying to get over not doing what he loved to do with radio, and you know, the writing things he was doing, the divorce, and everything kind of came at him at once. But you know, Fred was a guy that had a huge heart, that was looking at any opportunity to help people to be better, to make more money, to have better opportunities. And so he's obviously going to be missed. And so if you can, help out the family if you loved anything that Fred did and there was so much to love.
Yeah. He was very kind to me. Both I've been to Gal twice. The first one, he was like, took me under his wing, gave me a lot of pointers, helped me out a lot. And then the second stint, you know, kind of, you know, weird circumstance, but always was incredibly kind. Incredibly kind when he didn't have to be. So always have
huge
a lot of
Coug
respect
fan
for him.
Too.
Huge Coug fan. My Coug brethren.
Yep.
We would talk about the Cougs all the time. Yeah, that's very, very sad. Thoughts and prayers to the Fowler family through this difficult time. Corey said Banshee and Spartacus were also very good. I've never heard of Spartacus, quite frankly. Lost and Heroes are the hardest shows ever. So
well, you've
Lost
heard of Spartacus.
And Heroes.
You just didn't hear of the series.
I've never heard of the series Spartacus.
No, but you've heard.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but is it, I guess, it's similar? I have no idea. I've never heard of Spartacus. 713-780-ESPN. So I'm glad the Rockets didn't listen to a jabroni like me. I wanted the. I didn't
you mean
want
because
the
they're winning?
Tank. No. Yeah, because they are winning. Because not
I
because they're winning, because they're playing better basketball.
I still want them to lose.
I think I'm past it.
I'm not.
I think I'm past it, and I'm glad they didn't lose a bunch of basketball games, because it was to the point where they were just not playing good and they were losing like 4 or 5. They were going through bad skids. They weren't playing well, and I was just kind of throwing my hands in the air saying, okay, if this is what I'm going to see, like, just lose games and improve from 20% to 28%, hoping that your pick lands in the top four, because you do have top four protection. But because that they've turned the corner here, I know the schedule ain't that hard. But they had won four road games in a row when they had won 5 on the year before the four-game road winning streak. They're currently riding a 5-game winning streak, period. And I'm not to say that they're even going to, like, chase down the 10th spot in the Western Conference. Currently, they're 3.5 back of both Golden State and Los Angeles. But to me, it's just about the improved play. It's like, okay, this is giving me optimism going into next year. You mentioned earlier in the show, Jalen Green, the Western Conference Player of the Week. Cool. That gives me optimism going into next year. A couple of weeks ago, they were playing so poorly. It's like, just lose games. Just lose out. That way you improve the chances of you getting a top four pick. But now that they've turned the corner and they've kind of righted the ship, even if it doesn't land in the top 10, I have optimism going into next year, and I like the way that Ime Udoka has gotten them right. That brings me encouragement going forward.
But this is why I say, because if you go back to, as we were basically saying, embrace the suck too.
Yeah.
I go back to what we had said about embrace the suck, which was, it's okay for three and a half quarters if you play well, if you see potential, if you see growth, if you see development. But just at the end of the day, if you end up losing said game, in the long run, it's probably better for you. I've seen so much better basketball than what I saw two, three weeks ago. I've seen the development of guys, especially, and I hate to say this, but with Alpi out, it opens up another opportunity for them to go to a smaller lineup so that Udoka could see there are times he could go small and get a lot out of the length and the athleticism that he has with some of his young guys. Seeing Jabari play some five, seeing Amen Thompson continue to grow. All the things that you're seeing with this team and then the better basketball that goes with it. And you have to mention how much better Jalen Green looks in the last month or so overall to say, if they lost those five games, but I saw what I saw, I'd still be pleased.
Yeah, the chances of their odds improving to, like, when we talked about this, because they were ninth place when we talked about it, it was at 20.3%. So, like, even if you drop two spots, which I don't know how realistic that is, that improves you 14%. Like, is that enough of an improvement to, like, root for losing? Maybe. Well, I was frustrated with them whenever I said it.
Well, let's ask this.
But now it's at 9.5%. Like, even if they fall below Atlanta, which Atlanta's two games behind the Rockets, it only improves to 13.9. They're three games ahead of Utah. It's 20.3. So, like, you would have to drop there, really.
But you still are a guy that, if given the opportunity right now, uh-huh, going into the draft, to have the best potential to have two picks, right, in the first round, then one.
But what's the trade-off?
You go after it. Because I think the trade-off you're not going to make the play-in.
But you're only improving 10%.
But at least that's 10% better chance of keeping your own pick than watching it walk out the door for nothing.
Right. What's the cost of that is what I'm asking. Like, I
they're playing
winning.
Good basketball, I don't think there is. I don't think you're losing anything except for the game. But as long as you're seeing that level of basketball and that development of the young talent, I think it's worth the risk, if you want to call it a risk, as long as you're still seeing good basketball and better players.
Either way, though, your fate is going to be determined by the ping pong balls. But, like, and you're talking about an increase of 9.4% to 20.3.
If you get to 20.3, I think it's a legit percentage that I like.
I mean, what do you mean you like it? You got a 20.3% chance to get a top four pick.
Right. I like that, as opposed to watching it get away from us for nothing.
But that's the risk. Like, the winning these games is going to cost you 11%. It's going to, like, you're 9.4% right now. If you lose some games down the stretch, Utah and Atlanta pass you, you improve it to 20.3%.
I like it.
It's still, like, peanuts. But, it's still
but
small.
But here's the thing, though. That's the reward, whereas chasing down wins to try and get to the 10 spot seems to me to be a futile experiment that's not going to end well anyway.
To me, it's about growth, though.
But I think you can see the growth without winning the game.
I tend to agree. But I'm watching the games, and I'm seeing Houston across the chest. I'm like, hey, go win the game. Like, I want to see Jalen Green in the final few moments make plays to win the game. I want to see Amen Thompson in the final few moments make plays to win the game. And because they're playing well, a couple weeks ago they weren't, whenever I was on the other side of this, I will trade 11% of my odds to get a top four pick from 9.5% to 20.3%. It's very, very small. I will trade that away for the Rockets playing good basketball going into the offseason. Not that it's going to carry over, but more because of my optimism around the team.
But I hear what you're saying, but to me, the whole thing is, I'll do the exact same thing you want, but sacrifice 3 minutes of game time.
Yeah, but you can't do that. You can't be Ime Udoka and be like, here you go, last 3 minutes.
I'm not saying that they're going to intentionally lose. But, like, I would love to see them be highly competitive for 46 minutes of the game, 45 minutes of the game, and it slips away late, knowing that I'm still seeing development, I'm still seeing a quality of basketball, I'm still seeing a coaching staff that proves to me they're the right guys for the job, and I can get up to a 20% chance, a 1 in 5 shot of keeping my pick.
What is the execution of that look like?
That you're in a tight game, or you're whether you're getting blown, your door's blown off or not, I would assume you're within single digits of every team you're playing.
No, but I'm saying, like, you're down the stretch, it's a tight game. What do you want Ime Udoka to do?
Oh, I'm not saying he does anything different.
You're just rooting for it.
I just want the outcome. That's what I'm rooting for.
Yes. Yeah, okay. I'm okay with that because I said that 2 weeks ago, but I like the winning. I like the
winning
right now.
Everyone should like the winning under normal circumstances, but this one has been so abnormal for so long. I get it if you want to see those wins. I just don't think at the end of the day they're going to mean a hill of beans opposed to increasing your percentage to try and grab every straw you can to hang on to your pick.
The other thing, though, is like you are at the mercy of the lotto. Like you're increasing your odds. That doesn't necessarily guarantee those odds. And I want to see these young players get some victories. I want to see, okay, last 3 minutes against a decent team, tight game. Go out and win it. 2568, I wouldn't call growth losing every fourth quarter. I mean, to Blanker's point, not necessarily every fourth quarter. You win 3 out of 10, stuff like that. But I'm to the point now, play good basketball, see what happens in the lottery. You know, hopefully you get extremely lucky. Hopefully you get extremely lucky and you land in the top four anyways.
Regardless, you have to. Because that's a pick, in retrospect, obviously you would love to have. But at that, you know, from the situation and the scenario that's playing out for you, you got to be lucky.
Yeah, either no matter which way you are. I mean, if you're where you're at right now at 9.4%, you got to be extremely lucky. Even if you were to fall to the ninth worst record in the NBA, you're 20.3%, because I really think that's the only thing in play.
That's realistic.
Because you're 3 ahead of Utah right now. You're 6 ahead of Brooklyn, which you're not. I don't think Brooklyn's playing poorly.
And you got their pick. You're fine.
Well, I mean, in a perfect
you
world.
You should have their pick.
No, you do have their pick. But in a perfect world, you would like to fall below. Like, if you're in favor of keeping your top four pick as well, and, like, you want them to lose games, ideally you would like to have a worse record than Brooklyn. Because you're getting Brooklyn's pick no matter what.
Right.
Whereas your pick, have to finish in the top four. You get better odds if you finish worse than Brooklyn.
There's no protection on
but
that
I don't
pick,
think,
right?
No. But I don't think that there's a, you know, you're 6 ahead of Brooklyn right now. I don't think that's, you're not falling there.
No.
I think worst case scenario or best case scenario, however you're looking at this, the worst they can finish is with the ninth worst record in the NBA, which gives them a 20.3% chance to land in the top four.
See, that's
right
why
now they have 11th worst, which is 9.4%.
See, that's why the worst case scenario is being a Nets fan, knowing that they're not playing better basketball and you're not going to have your own pick.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, hey, if I see this team continue to play good basketball now that they won 5 in a row, but at the end of the day, I'm rooting for them to still lose a tight game at the end, but see all the development in the good basketball, knowing there's still an outside shot I could keep my own pick.
Yeah, I just, you're playing for the percentages there of the increase, and what is it worth? The thing is where the conversation lies. Wheezy, what are those top four picks doing for us, though, so far? Amassing talent. He says Green, Smith, Thompson are all just okay. Okay, would you rather have Green, Smith, and Thompson
you haven't seen nearly enough at the age of Amen Thompson in less than 1 year in the league to tell me that they're just okay. What he's shown you in a short sample size of time is a guy that's got no ceiling right now, that's got a ton of basketball ability. Green is starting to finally show you the signs of why he was drafted where he was, though I hear you that so far he's been underwhelming to what you expected when he came into the league. And Jabari is, even if that's who he is, a double-double guy that can face the basket, shoot threes, but still get you points and rebounds, he's a good, valuable piece to your puzzle.
3726, you say the increase is small, but it is over double the chance that they have now. You're not a millionaire, but if they doubled your salary, you would take it. What makes you think I'm not a millionaire? And then secondly,
now look at your
that's totally different. That's totally
on Twitter
different.
Alone, you're close.
Doubling your salary versus doubling your odds to land in the top four of the NBA lottery, I don't think are anywhere near the same. And you're also talking about what you're losing in the process by losing. Are you losing some potential development? Are you losing potential wins down the road because these young players are learning to win? Like, there's more variables in play here. 713-780-3776. Is it time to publicly apologize to Joe George? I am. We'll see if Lankers does too. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I've been telling you for a while now that Gentlebin is the absolute best, and make this year the year where you're making great decisions with Gentlebin. It all starts with the finest ingredients, classic time-honored distilling methods. Gentlebin uses their innovative process that removes the harshness that's found in most spirits. The result is unparalleled smoothness and an enjoyable drinking experience. You get all the flavor, none of the burn. And you'll love what's not in Gentlebin, including undesirable acids. These acids take the enjoyment out of your drinks. Well, Gentlebin gets rid of the undesirable acids so you can enjoy your drink. Gentlebin offers vodka, gin, straight bourbon whiskey, and cask-strength bourbon. All are fantastic. All are in my rotation. Look for Gentlebin at the liquor store, whichever one you go to. Pick up a bottle today. Next time you head to dinner, ask for Gentlebin. If you're looking for plans, head to the Gentlebin tasting room. Going to a Rockets game soon? Stop by Ben's Bar on the way to your seats. Or if you're going to an Astros game soon, stop by the Ben's Bar inside of Minute Maid Park as well. Gentlebin.com to learn about their incredible story, and you can order the stuff straight off the website. Yeah, order the juice straight off of Gentlebin.com. Gentlebin, smoothest, honest.